welcome to Life Point Church. My name is Andy Driscoll. I'm the youth pastor here. Jamie's out this week. He's in Ohio taking a little vacation. So as always, I'm excited to be able to hang out with you all, share a little bit of God's word with you, and just hang out. So it was kind of beautiful this morning, and then it got kind of nasty again. It's kind of been the pattern here recently. But thank you for coming out regardless and hanging out with us and choosing to be at Life Point on this holiday weekend. How many of y'all are tired of fireworks? I've seen some of y'all posted on Facebook. I am like five nights in a row. Like the other night I thought someone was doing a full-on assault in my neighborhood. I don't know what was going on, but it was shaking the house. It was crazy. But I like fireworks, but it got old pretty quick. So, but again, thank you for being here. So hopefully you've got some rest and relaxation over the weekend and are ready to hear from God. And, you know, we're going to dive into his word. We're going to talk a little bit about Jesus and you know, how he has described himself throughout his word. So as we look in the New Testament, we see Jesus using a lot of analogies to describe himself. We see him describing himself as the resurrection and the life. He refers to himself as the good shepherd. And he watches over the sheep. And they know his voice. And that he's the light of the world. And today we're going to talk specifically about the fact that he says, I am the vine. He talks about and refers to himself as the vine. So, and its importance in our life. And we're going to talk about that and look into that a little bit deeper. So in John chapter 15, verse 5, and go ahead and just get used to this verse because I'm going to say it over and over and over again this morning. But John chapter 15, verse 5 says this. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will produce much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That statement alone is pretty powerful. It's pretty dramatic. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Not a little bit, not a few things, nothing. Pretty dramatic, right? Pretty strong statement. But then when we look a little deeper and we dig a little bit in this and we look at the context in which this verse was stated, when these words were stated, it takes on even more significance. So this was stated by Jesus in chapter 15. And in chapter 13, we see Jesus coming together for dinner with his disciples. It's referred to as the Last Supper. Referred to as that because this is the last time that Jesus is going to sit down and share a meal with his disciples before he is arrested and crucified. And then we see that beginning in chapter 18. So we have 13, Last Supper, them hanging out, sharing a meal. And then 18, we have Jesus going to the Garden of Gethsemane, being arrested, and then eventually crucified. So in between those two chapters, basically what we have is we have some dinner conversation, okay? That's what it is. It's dinner conversation. And so if I was going to tell you that I was going to get a huge table together just for you, and I'm going to put around it some of your closest friends and family, and I was going to tell you this is the last time that you were going to be able to speak with them, see them before you die, would you think about that conversation? Would you have certain things that you wanted to say, maybe about how you felt about them or how important they were to you? Think a lot about that. Maybe there'd be some life lessons that you've learned and some wisdom that you have that you want to share with them. You want to make sure that they know before you exit the scene. And this is exactly the context that we see Jesus say, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will produce and bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Very powerful words. So why is being connected to the vine so important? So let me illustrate it real quick. I'm a visual learner. I like to see visuals. So for all my visual folks out in the crowd, we're going to do a few little visuals, okay? So let's check out this tree up here on the screen, if y'all could get that up there, okay? What do we see? Okay, duh. What kind of tree? An apple tree. It's producing fruit, right? So it looks healthy, right? It's in the ground, so we've got soil, okay? I'm sure there's some fertilizer down there, probably natural, which is, you know, use your imagination. Fertilizer, there's water from the rain. We have it. It's a healthy tree. And the result is much fruit. It's full of fruit. It's got fruit all in the branches, and there's some on the ground from where it's fallen off because it's got so much fruit. This is the representation of Jesus being the vine, okay? Now, us, on the other hand, this is us, okay? Got a branch, okay? Now, when I see this, see, it's wilting away. When I see this, I'm not thinking there's going to be a lot of fruit coming off this, right? What do y'all think? Think there's going to be fruit? No. It's not going to happen. It's dry. It's nasty. It's gross. It just breaks apart. There's no fruit coming from this. So basically, we have to decide, do we want this? Yeah, thank you. Or do we want this? Okay. All right. So, do we want a healthy tree? It's producing fruit, strong, beautiful, nice and green, or gross? We want the healthiness, okay? And we can be a part of that. This limb was once a part of a healthy, growing tree, okay? But it's broke off. And when it's apart from the tree, it can do nothing. It's pointless, right? It's nothing, okay? Get back to that later. So, we want to have purpose. We want to bear fruit. We want to have meaning in our life. And that's why we see Jesus saying, I'm the vine, and apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus said in John 15, 1, verse 1, the very beginning of this chapter, he says, I am the true vine. Not just the vine, the true vine. And my Father is the gardener. So that basically implies that there's some false vines out there, right? There's some false things and unhealthy things that we can attach ourselves to, thinking that we might produce some fruit, okay? So, again, we can get back to some visuals. I sat down just for a moment, get my little comfort zone. It's like my blankie over there. So, again, this is us. This cup of water right here, that's a false vine. And what we like to do in our lives is we take ourselves here and we say, ah, yeah. There we are. Look out, baby. I'm going to start producing some fruit. Okay? But I'm no botanist, but I'm not dumb either. I know I could keep this stick in here, this branch, all day long for years and years and years to come, and it's never going to produce any fruit. Okay? This is a false vine. And we attach ourselves to false vines like this all the time, thinking that we're going to produce some fruit. Expecting that, wanting that, but it never comes. And we stay empty, and we stay withered away, fragile, broken, dry, just lifeless, just there. That's what this branch has for the rest of its life right there, just laying there on the sidelines. And that's where we find ourselves. And that looks practically in our lives. What that looks like is maybe us saying, you know, an example of a false vine might be, you know, if I could make more money next year, or if I could climb one rung up in that corporate ladder, then that's some fruit. Then I'm producing fruit now. And Jesus is saying, no, that's not it. It's not the right fruit. Or if we could say, you know, if I could just gain this certain social status, if I could look a certain way and wear the right thing, I just was reminded as I was coming in here, one of the youth stopped me and said, hey, you look like a waiter today. So I'm like, thanks, bro, appreciate it. Guess there's worse things I could look like, but obviously I'm not wearing the right thing today. But you know, we think if I could just wear the right thing, or if I could get the newest technology, or if I could be retweeted by this celebrity or this famous person, and then I could then retweet the retweet so that everyone would know I was retweeted, right? There's a lot of retweeting going on. Or if we could just gain a certain number of Facebook friends or whatever it might be, that we think we can accumulate these things and then bam, then there's fruit. And Jesus is saying, no, you got it all wrong. That's not the kind of fruit I'm talking about. Sometimes it could be in the appearance of something good. We try to put on, we want everyone to know how great we are and that we got it all together and that our family's perfect. We put on all these masks. We make sure our lawn looks beautiful, and we got the white picket fence, and we got the kids playing outside in the yard, and landscaping looks nice. But in the reality, on the inside, it's a mess. It's a disaster. But we want people to think we have it all together. And that's a false vine. Or maybe you walked in this morning through the door and someone said, hey, how's your morning going? And you put on that mask. Boom. Smile. It's great, brother. It's great. Going great. But the reality is you woke up late, you were rushing around the house, you were snapping at the kids, you kicked the dog, and then you argued with your spouse the whole way here over nothing, and then you put the mask on. That's a false vine. And Jesus says, we've got to be connected to the true vine in order to produce fruit, the kind of fruit that he has for us. So it's important. So it's important to stay connected to the true vine, first because staying connected produces fruit, okay? We see it very clearly in this passage. It says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will produce much fruit. So we've talked about false vines, and we've talked about what the fruit's not. So let's look at what fruit is. What fruit is Jesus talking about that we will produce if we stay connected to him? And we see it in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 when it says this. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Doesn't that sound good? When you hear that, don't you like, man, I want that. I'd love to have some joy, some love, some patience. Oh, I need a little patience, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's what Jesus is talking about. That's the fruit that we will produce once we're able to stay connected and remain in him. Is there evidence of that type of fruit in your life currently, right now? Is there evidence of that type of fruit? Maybe you're really working hard to stay connected. Maybe you've got a friend that you're just really praying for and you're connected to the vine and you're praying, but you're just getting frustrated because you want them to accept Christ. You want them to come to church with you. You want them to have that relationship with him, but they're just not having it. Actually, it seems like they're going the other way. And you get frustrated. And you're like, God, where's the fruit, man? Come on. Or maybe it's this sense of anger that you have. You just get mad really easy. And you get mad about that because you're just like, you just can't control it. And you just get mad because you're mad. And it's just this weird cycle. And you're just frustrated. Or maybe it's this struggle of lust that you have, and you just keep going back to it and back to it, and you're frustrated, and you're trying to stay connected, but it just is there, and it's just frustrating. And there's no fruit, and you don't see it, but we've got to remember, the key is we have to remain in him. It says, remain in me, and I in you, and you will bear fruit. It's going to happen. We've got to stay diligent. We have to remain in him. Which means when you're in the middle of that time where you're praying for your friends and they're going the opposite direction, you keep praying for them. You don't get frustrated. You remain in him. You stay diligent. When you keep screwing up over and over and over with the same thing, you keep praying. You keep seeking God's face. And you keep remaining in him, and he's going to remain in you. And I promise you, you're going to start bearing some fruit. You're going to start seeing those blossoms. But you have to remain in him. So the first thing is staying connected produces fruit. The second thing is the exact opposite, is that being disconnected produces absolutely nothing. When we are apart from him, we can do nothing. John 15, verse 6, which is the next verse in this, says, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Boom. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Not a good day to be that branch, huh? Not a good day. When we're connected, we produce fruit. When we're disconnected, we produce nothing. And when we become disconnected and we detach from the vine, a lot of things start to happen. One of those things is that we kind of start to step back and we start to look at everybody else. And we start to become a little judgmental, right? It's far too common in churches today. Far too common. We see it a lot. But it's because we become disconnected. We begin to look around and make judgments on other people. You know, you may say something like, man, can you believe that so-and-so had an affair? I can't believe that. I would never do that. Never in a million years would I do that. It's just terrible. But the next thing you know, bam, you're stuck right in the middle of one. And you don't like, what happened? How did this happen? Or it's that, you know, my kids are never going to act like that. Parents, have you ever said that? Did your kids act like that? Right. Kids screaming in the restaurant, and you're maybe married and don't have any kids. Like, oh, no way. Get a three-year-old, see what happens, especially the boy. But we start to look in judgment. Or we say, you know, I'm not going to put my job before my family like they do. No way. It's not going to happen. But then again, the next thing you know, you've missed so many ball games, you don't even remember what sport it is. You don't even know what team your kid plays on. Because if we're disconnected, the next thing you know, we've gone way further than we want. For me personally, that's been the case at times, especially around time with my family. When I become disconnected and I try to run off and do things on my own and try to be successful and to do X, Y, and Z, I start to lose focus of the vine because I detach from it. I'm not getting the water. I'm not part of that soil and that fertilizer. I'm not there. So what happens is I spend a lot of time at work. I come home late. Then I come home late and I plop on the couch. And then what do? Pull out my phone or my iPad and I start working. Start checking emails. Start taking phone calls. And my kids are sitting right there playing or hitting each other, doing something, trying to get my attention. And I've become that I've judged before. All because I've become disconnected from the vine. We've got to stay connected. And what I want you to realize, it doesn't matter who you are. Anyone is capable of anything when you're disconnected from the vine. I don't care who you are. Me, Jamie, Joel, doesn't matter. The person to the right of you, the person to the left of you. Everyone is capable of anything when you're disconnected to the vine. It's crucial that we stay connected. So I'm going to go out on a limb here, no pun intended, but go out on a limb here and say, I'd venture to say that everyone pretty much would agree that it's important to be connected to the vine at this point. I would say that we would all say, you know, it's important. There's benefit to that. So I guess the bigger question is, how do we do that? That's always the big question. How do we do that? And honestly, there's a lot of ways that we can stay connected. You know, reading and ingesting God's word is a great way to stay connected. Prayer, singing worship songs, perfect. Those are all great ways. Having coffee with a friend who speaks biblical truth into your life. Seeing a sunset or a sunrise and being reminded of how powerful God is. Those are ways to stay connected to the vine. And the problem is sometimes we just lack the motivation to do it. Right? I know I do. I wouldn't think I'm the only one. But we lack motivation to do that sometimes. So we're going to look at what God says we need to do in order to stay connected. What he shares in his word. How do we stay connected to this vine? So the first thing is that we have to do what Jesus says. Simple, right? Seems it. Surface level. But we have to do what Jesus says to do. In John 15:10, Jesus says this, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Pretty straightforward. No hidden tricks there. If you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love. Francis Chan, who's a great author and speaker and pastor, gives a great illustration of how we need to keep and apply God's commands. And I really like it. It really hits home for me. But it's like a parent, okay, who asks their kid to go clean their room. Okay? So the parent says, hey, you need to go clean your room, and this is how you do it. Kid goes away. Then they come back. And you're like, hey, did you clean your room? Well, I memorized what you told me to do on how to clean my room, so I memorized it. Okay, that's good. But did you clean your room? Well, I got how you clean your room, like what you told me. I got that tattooed on my arm. And I actually got it in Hebrew, too. Isn't that cool? And I got it that way, and so that it will remind me of how I clean my room. And it'll show others that I'm supposed to clean my room. Okay, great. but did you clean your room? Well, me and four of my friends, we went out to Starbucks and we started studying and talking about what it means, what you were saying it means to clean your room. And we actually even studied the word clean in Greek, and it's kleineo, and it means to clean with diligence and haste and fortitude. Great. But did you clean your room? Did you actually go and clean your room? Well, I went to a conference. And they talked all kinds of stuff about cleaning rooms. And one guy even taught us how to do it more effectively. And God is saying, did you clean your room? That's what he wants to know. Did you clean your room? And many of us here today simply just need to straight up stop and just clean our rooms. Right? God's been telling us something, revealing something to us in our time of prayer and study. And he's showing us, this is what I want you to do, and I'm confirming this. And people are even sharing that with you. Hey, have you ever thought about this? And God is confirming that through the people in your life as well. And you're just kind of saying, I don't know, maybe. You need to clean your room. God is saying, I've confirmed this. You don't need to pray about it anymore because I've already showed you this is what you need to do. So just do it. How many times have you all sat in here, and maybe it's your first time and you haven't, but you've heard that we need ministry leaders, or we need small group leaders, or we have a need in our kids' ministry for people to serve, or on our greeting team, or in the sound, in the tech team. We had open auditions last week for the worship team. We hear those things. We know it. And God might be speaking to you that you need to jump in and get a part of the action here at LifePoint. And you're just like, I don't know, let me pray about it. You've been praying about it for a year and a half. And God is saying, clean your room. I'm telling you what to do. It's time to clean your room. Maybe it's that you need to start investing in your kids, speaking truth and life into them. And God is saying, you need to do this. And you need to do it before it's too late, before they're out of the house. And they're gone. Clean your room. You can do it. God is revealing it. Stay connected to that vine and go do it. Jesus says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. We have to do what Jesus tells us to do. The second thing is this. Again, seems kind of simple, but Jesus, as always, takes it to that next level. Steps it up a notch. And it's that we have to love like Jesus loves. That's how we stay connected to the vine. We love like Jesus loves. John 15:12 says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. So, loving someone, doable, okay? But when Jesus says, like I loved you, that's a whole nother level. That's an entirely different level. I want you to love each other the way I love you. You know, if he would have just said, just love each other, that's a little more subjective, right? We could say, well, I think this is what loving each other means. I think this is what me loving you looks like, or you loving your neighbor, this is what that looks like. It's a little more subjective. We kind of make it to be really what we want it to be. But when he said, like I loved you, there's no way getting around that. That's pretty specific, okay? And Jesus said this in that moment in time because he saw that there was a problem, okay? What he was experiencing and seeing was that the disciples for years were debating and arguing about who was going to be the greatest, okay? Of the disciples, who was the best? Who was going to be the top dog? And this happened over and over and over again. And even on their way to Jerusalem for the Passover meal, we see that they were arguing about who was going to be the best, who's the greatest. And Jesus kind of said, hey guys, stop. Okay, just stop. Let me remind you that the greatest among you is the one who serves. Basically, the greatest among you is the one who loves. And then when they've got to their destination, Jesus walked in the room, tied a towel around his waist, called the disciples over, he starts washing their feet. He showed them what it meant. He told them something, and then he showed it to them. Practice what he preached. and he washed their feet. He served them. He loved them. And then in dramatic fashion over that dinner, he said, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, nothing. If you want to remain in my love, keep my commands. Basically, do what I say to do. And what I'm going to tell you to do is I'm going to tell you to love others just like I love you. Right? And then he continued on with the next verse that says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Again, to the next level, right? He's raising that bar. Love others like I've loved you. So why did he say it that way? Why did he do that? Not just leave it so open-ended. Why did he do that? He did that because he knows that you're incapable of doing that. I'm incapable of doing that on my own. Detached from the vine, I can't do that. No way. It's not in my nature. You can't do that. But once you are a part of that vine, once you are attached to it, and you are one with that vine, you can begin to love like Jesus loves. You start to have that blossom. It blossoms within you. And you start loving people. And once you do that, it drives you straight back to the vine. And you can't get enough. And then God says, hey, go love them a little deeper. Go find that person that's unlovable and go love them like I love them. And then you do that. And then again, it drives you back to the vine. And this cycle completes itself. And as it does, that blossom turns into fruit. As you remain in him, fruit starts to come. Like that tree that we saw. Nice, green, healthy, fruit all over it. So my question for you today is this. What fruit is evident in your life today? Maybe the better question would be, what fruit do people see in your life? Those that are the closest to you, that are around you, what do they see? Do you see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? Are those things a part of your life? Because Jesus said, when you remain in him, he's going to remain in you, and you are going to produce and bear much fruit. And as we do that, and we love each other, and we're connected to the vine, and we're producing fruit, what happens is that God takes our loneliness, and he replaces it with his comfort. God takes his desire, or our desires, and then turns them into his desires. He takes our fear and our doubt, and he replaces it with joy and peace. And as we love each other, like Jesus loved us, and we stay connected to that vine, then we begin to produce fruit. Jesus says, I'm the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Don't be this branch, laying off on the sidelines, doing nothing, withering away, ready to be thrown into the fire. Be that healthy, flourishing tree. The only way to do that is to be a part of it, to be connected to it. Remain in him, and you will produce much fruit. Let's pray. Maybe you're here today, and you've been trying to attach yourself to all kinds of different false vines. Trying to do so just in this attempt to find some peace, find some comfort, find some joy, but it always leaves you empty. Empty with nothing happening, no fruit, just still empty. And today you've realized that that's because